Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, let's dive right in a little bit more to this week two matchup, Packers against the Vikings. The intrigue, you might say, at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings is at full steam here. We have Mike Zimmer on Wednesday saying that he might not even tell his team who's going to start at quarterback because he doesn't want it to leak out like it did last week against Tennessee. Then you have Mike McCarthy saying he thinks it's going to be Sam Bradford. Then Adrian Peterson jokes with the media saying, maybe I'm going to start at quarterback. And then later in the day, we find out from a report out of Minneapolis that Bradford is indeed the one taking all the first team snaps with the offense in practice, and you and I both know what usually that means. So what do you make of all this?
Well, there hasn't been more intrigue in Minnesota about their quarterback situation since Christian Ponder and Joe Webb were going into the 2012 playoffs and who that was going to be leading up until game time. But I will say this, I found it really interesting. Mike McCarthy said that they're expecting Sam Bradford. They're going to prepare for both. But from everything, as he said, his understanding was is that it will be Bradford. Yesterday in this very same space, this very same desk, the same show, I was quoted as saying, I think it'll be Sean Hill.
And you gave a very good explanation, as well.
But at the same time, you also can understand why the Vikings would want to do this. This isn't Josh Freeman. This is a guy that has a lot of experience in the NFL, and more recently he has a lot of experience in different offenses. So they traded a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. They have an escalating another pick for him, depending on if they make the playoffs this year. So I get why they'd want to get him out there. And if they want to get that downfield passing game going, he is the best catalyst to that. I just think the biggest key is you don't want to overwhelm him because this is a long season. You need to have him winning games for you in November and December.
Yeah, for sure. And as we also found out Wednesday afternoon when the first injury report or practice participation report was released, the Vikings are a little banged up coming out of that game in Tennessee. Starting left tackle Matt Khalil did not practice. Neither did cornerback Xavier Rhodes or defensive tackle Sharif Floyd. Three very key starters for the Vikings on both sides of the ball. It sounds like the one that maybe is the most likely not to play, if we can say that at this stage, might be Rhodes. It sounds like his injury is being discussed quite a bit, which then would put a lot on a young cornerback out of Michigan State, Trey Waynes, taking on potentially a bigger role against the Packers wide receivers. What do you see if this potential change happens in Minnesota's secondary?
Yeah, I mean, then Trey Waynes becomes an incredible big part of the secondary because although I did mention Terrence Newman kind of being ageless, there are limitations to him. I thought you saw at certain points last year the Packers being able to take advantage of that matchup. They're going to need Trey Waynes to play well. I really like him. I think he's a really solid cornerback, a young guy that they can develop and will fit well into what Mike Zimmer's trying to do there. But that would be a tall task in terms of there's a lot of different weapons that the Packers have. And I know if you judge by our insider inbox, everybody's wondering why they didn't score 45 points and put up 450 yards in the first game back with Jordy Nelson. But the thing you have to keep in mind is there's a lot of different things that opposing defenses have to scheme for right now with the Packers. When they have that many receivers, when you do have Jared Cook, you have to prepare for Eddie Lacy, who had a lot of success last year at TCF Bank Stadium. So the way I look at this right now is whoever, you know, Waynes ends up going up against, this is going to be really important for him to be really stepping into that role. And probably he'll put a little bit more on Harrison Smith, too, and how they want to use him in this defense.
Yeah, Harrison Smith is the guy that I'm curious to watch. And I know the fans who watch the games on TV, you don't always get to see where the safety is in deep center field and whatnot based on the camera angle. We get that view from the press box, and we can see when Harrison Smith is shading to one side or the other, or maybe he comes up into the box, which then he does come into the TV shot. I think he's really the chess piece, you might say, for Mike Zimmer with that defense, and certainly the Vikings are now paying him as one of the top, if not the top paid safety in all of football. So I think Harrison Smith, number 22 for the Vikings, is really a guy to watch on Sunday.
No question. And the way that this shuffles out, too, as you mentioned, even with Sharif Floyd being with question marks there, with their rotations that they get going, and we'll have to see, even if those guys do play, or, you know, Matt Khalil, for instance, has had, you know, his issues against Clay Matthews in the past, but still yep. is their best option at left tackle. So even if those guys play, what percentage are they in this game? That's a tough situation to be in. The Packers were in it, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, where they were, the first couple weeks of the season, they were really stressed out by injuries. This year, they've been a little bit more fortunate outside of that cornerback position. So sometimes that's the ultimate kind of deterrent in terms of these games, and who comes out on top is exactly which team can field the more healthy team. And for Minnesota, as deep as they are defensively, those are different areas that can definitely stress you out throughout the course of a game.
Yeah, well, we'll be keeping an eye on that injury report as the week goes along, and plenty more to talk about with this Packers-Vikings matchup as the show continues. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, kind of an interesting dichotomy, you might say, of players coming back from injury. Adrian Peterson, the gold standard, I guess you could say, in terms of recovering from the ACL. He came back in well under a year's time a few years ago and rushed for over 2,000 yards in leading the Vikings to the playoffs, which I don't think anybody thought was even possible. Sure. After the injury he had late in 2011. Jordy Nelson now for the Packers, another primetime offensive player coming back from an ACL injury. And we heard from Peterson this week in his conference call with the Green Bay media, and it was interesting. He said, I have a message for Jordy Nelson you need to deliver, and it's that he needs to know mentally that his repaired ACL is actually stronger than the ACL that he never tore in the other knee. And I don't think Jordy Nelson has had necessarily any mental issues at all with his comeback, but interesting that, you know, one former or one NFL star who had previously returned from an ACL and done so in such spectacular fashion, he wants to see Jordy Nelson do the same thing.
Yeah, no question. And it was one of those things too that Nelson's talked about at great length as well. It really does come down to confidence. In having confidence in that knee, and when you do cut and when you do everything on the field that you want to do, that there isn't going to be any side effects of that, so to speak. So Adrian Peterson is, as you said, he's the gold standard for coming back from something like that. It's amazing what he did, how he was able to do it, and really at a time in which I don't know what the expectations were for him. I know there was a lot of people yeah. thinking, okay, he's getting older, getting further into the 20s. Is he really going to be able to bounce back from this? Because some guys aren't able to.
Right.
He, being the kind of physical freak that he is, was able to get back to that level and is still playing at a very high level even at 30 years old. So now when you look at a guy like Jordy Nelson coming back, I believe now at 31, there's really no reason to think that he can't be the same player he always was. And as Peterson's message sort of foretold, it's that, well, in some ways you could be even better based on having trust in that ACL and being able to understand that the way it's constructed, it's going to be as strong, if not stronger, than the one that you never hurt in the first place.
Yeah. The Aaron Rodgers was joking a little bit with Jordy Nelson. He told us that he was joking with Nelson that his 6 catches for 32 yards might have been his lowest yards per catch in a game that he's ever had. And I think we're going to see Jordy Nelson start to work down the field a little bit more. But as we talked about, he's having not really been involved much at all in training camp, didn't play at all in the preseason games, hadn't played an actual NFL game since the 2014 NFC Championship. He's not going to be out there running the deep post and the fly patterns and trying to catch the 60-yard bombs from Aaron Rodgers. We hope that's coming, certainly, for the Packers' sake, but fans have to be patient here with Nelson as he really does get back to 100%.
For me, after the game, I didn't even look at the 32 yards receiving, and I wrote the story for our website on his performance. To me, it was more about the 6 catches. It was more about the 3 catches during the touchdown drive that ended in his 6-yard touchdown completion. It's about getting him involved in the offense again. You got to remember, he didn't play any preseason games. We saw him make those type of really highlight real catches when he came back in practice. Just because they didn't happen in the exhibition season doesn't mean they're still not there.
Right.
I just think being able to get the ball in his hands, getting him comfortable a good starting point, leaping off point. I think that's going to set him up for success down the road here. More than anything, Aaron Rodgers knows it. Mike McCarthy's seen it. Everybody on this offense understands what Jordy Nelson is capable of, even after this injury. And for him just to get out there and get a feel for himself, get his feet wet, I think that was the most important thing to come out of that than any yards per catch, so to speak.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And as you talk about the fans who are a little impatient and they wanted to see 35, 40, 45 points right away in the first game, let's be realistic here. Jordy Nelson had 32 yards receiving. Jared Cook had one catch for 7 yards,
right,
drew a 30-yard pass interference penalty. But neither one of those guys with the ultra-productive games that they are capable of, yet the Packers still scored 27 points and were stopped twice in goal-to-go situations. So it's not as though there's all sorts of things that need to be fixed here. Are they running on all cylinders? No, they're not. But it's not, at least I don't see it as the fans freaking out that this is 2015 all over again, because they were seeing some of the same things. Every year is a new year. This is a work in progress. I think patience will pay off.
Let's be honest too, Mike, even though it was only that amount of yardage, both of those guys had a huge impact on that result and on two of the biggest series of that game for the Packers offense.
Absolutely.
They still made their presence felt. And you know, you do the what you might have missed every week for our website. When you go back and look at that game, Jordy Nelson was still getting open. It wasn't like he was having trouble separating. There were times where he was waving for the ball and just trying to find Aaron Rodgers again. Once they get down that chemistry and rapport, that guy's going to be there. We all know it. And it's just going to be the time of being able to find him.
I agree with you. I'm willing to wait for it. How about you?
Let's give it another couple weeks, shall we?
Okay, sounds good. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Packers-Vikings after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we talked a little bit in the opening segment of the show about the chess match, so to speak, with the Packers offense and the Vikings defense. It really comes down to Aaron Rodgers against Mike Zimmer. And there's some history here between these two. When Zimmer was the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, he came out on top against the Packers twice in both 2009 and 2013. Then he became the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The Packers won three straight before Minnesota came in week 17 to Lambeau Field last year and beat the Packers to take the NFC North title. So Mike Zimmer, very creative defensive mind, a trendsetter, as many have said, in terms of the defensive fronts and disguising pass rush packages, disguising blitz packages, all of that kind of stuff. What do you make of this Rodgers versus Zimmer head-to-head matchup?
Yeah, it's something I don't want it to be, you know, kind of beaten to death over the course of time and, you know, and just like, okay, they're going to see him again and again. But at the same time, it's one of the most exciting kind of rivalries, so to speak, that's going on, because Rodgers, as intelligent as he is, and Zimmer, with as creative as his defense is, it's always interesting to see those two forces kind of collide. And for me, I look at Zimmer, I've always really I really respected the hire when the Vikings went with him two years ago. One, it made sense because he has had success against Aaron Rodgers in the past. But two, everybody wants to hire the quarterback coach now. They went and hired the defensive guy, and I think that's benefiting them in the long run. If you look at it statistically, I think Rodgers' quarterback rating is about 15 points lower against Zimmer than it is over his career. Still around 89, which is, you know, okay.
Yeah, it's not horrible by any stretch.
But it's gone that rivalry's gone both ways. So I'm excited to see which way it tilts this way. I think the scheme is incredibly creative. It's a 4-3 defense, but it still has a lot of those same kind of tendencies as Dom Capers 3-4 in terms of you're never really sure who's going to be rushing, who's going to be dropping. And it's really an exciting brand of football to watch.
Yeah. Zimmer was, he downplayed the scheme part of it when he was asked by Green Bay reporters, you know, why has your scheme had so much success against Aaron Rodgers? And he said, well, because I've had good players. and you look back at the two Cincinnati games in 2009 and 2013, you know, Antoine Odom had 5 sacks in the game in 2009 when Alan Barber just had a terrible day at right tackle for the Packers. And then in 2013, you've got playmakers like Geno Atkins and Reggie Nelson on that defense. And then we've talked, you know, plenty about the playmakers that are on Minnesota's defense now with Zimmer. So it's not just you draw up the X's and O's to beat Aaron Rodgers. You have to have the players in order to do it. And Zimmer has not only gotten those players, but he's developed them. And we've talked about these young Vikings playmakers on defense who look like they just keep getting better.
Yeah, and if you look at how they've kind of built this organization since he was hired, it's almost like a bizarre world of Green Bay. In terms of Green Bay, you have the quarterback guru and Mike McCarthy. You have Dom Capers, the defensive coach, as their coordinator. And then in Minnesota, you have everything that Zimmer's done defensively, and Norv Turner, who's a guy, as Mike McCarthy talked about this week, really respects and handles the offense. So that kind of contrast between the two, I think, really works for them. And whether it's the talent, whether it's the scheme, it seems to blend well with Zimmer no matter where he is. And I think at the end of the day, you have to tip your cap to the coaching as far as one of the things that's allowing the players to have that success.
Yeah, now that you say that, it's interesting. I don't have the time to look it up right in front of me, but how many times maybe has a Norv Turner offense gone against a Dom Capers defense over the last 25, 30 years in the NFL?
It
has to be a countless number of times, I would think.
I can't even imagine. I mean, with all the stops that they've had, a lot of, you know, same conference stops and things like that. Turner's coached a lot of places, you know, as a head coach as well. So
yeah.
Another chapter in the book this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. They've seen each other plenty. Well, before we throw it to a break, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this, Wes. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Sub's, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we start the final segment of our 25th show, 25 episodes of Packers Unscripted now.
I was hoping they'd put up a banner or something behind us to kind of commemorate it. We'll have to talk to Marvin about that to get something worked
maybe,
out next
maybe,
time.
Maybe some confetti or something.
We could fit some in here.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, final segment here. As we look at this Packers-Vikings matchup, week two, it's the first division game, the first NFC North game of the season, but it's only week two.
Right.
I think most people would figure either the Packers and the Vikings are the favorites to win the NFC North, so the winner will be the front runner after two games. But with it being only week two, how big is this game? Like, how much importance do you put on it?
You know, for me, Mike, I think it is the most important game that's ever been played at US Bank Stadium.
Ha!
I wanted to get that in there. Yeah. But all kidding aside, Jordy Nelson mentioned this earlier this week. This is about as close to probably a playoff atmosphere as you're ever going to get in September. Considering it's two teams that are both vying not only for the NFC North title, but to vie for a deep run in the playoffs this year.
Sure.
And secondly, it's going to be a neat environment and a loud environment with them opening that stadium. So I think the Packers are preparing for this to be a pretty hotly contested affair, but in the grand scheme of things, I try not to make anything too big in September. You don't want to go 0-4. You prefer not to be 1-3, but I mean, it's a long year.
Yeah, it's a long season.
But I'll say this, much like last year, if you can get these couple wins right away off the bat, it sets you up for the long run and can definitely help you out come December.
Yeah, I look at this as a potential launching pad game for whichever team wins it. And what
right.
I mean by that, different circumstances. If you're the Vikings, if indeed Sam Bradford starts at quarterback, and if the Vikings win this game, you're looking at it as, okay, we got our new quarterback, he's getting his feet wet, we got a big win over a division rival, you know, now here we go, because we know our quarterback is going to keep getting better, learning the offense, our offense is really going to start to take off. If you're the Packers, you look at this. If you win this game, you've survived these back-to-back road games to open the season at 2-0, and now you've got four consecutive home games coming up with the bye week sprinkled in. It's time to get on a roll and make some hay and really establish yourselves as an NFC contender, if not maybe the team to beat in the NFC. So from a potential, and again, it's a week-to-week league, but from a potential momentum standpoint, I think this could be really important for the team that does win it.
Yeah, only Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner are going to have a good idea of how much Sam Bradford has picked up and how well they think he can play. But that's also the reason why, not to keep reiterating this, but that's why I'd be apprehensive about playing him, because if he doesn't play well, what does that do on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of, could that be demoralizing, or can you really have something to build off of? It depends on it. I mean, that's the chess game. That's what coaches have to determine, how they're going to best utilize their personnel. But to the point you made, if they can actually, after losing, what was it, 9 of the past 10 up until last December, if they can suddenly win back-to-back against Green Bay, that can go a long way as well.
Yeah, for sure. Not a game that is a devastating loss for either team if they were to lose it. Both teams got off to a 1-0 start with a win on the road. Both of these teams, I think, are going to be in the mix all the way to the end, regardless of what happens. So, but obviously, it's the game that's right in front of you. It's an important game, and you want to get started on the right foot within your own division.
Keep this in mind, too. That young Packers defensive front that held Jacksonville to 48 rushing yards or whatever, if you can contain Adrian Peterson, what a shot that is going to be to really get you going into a season as well. So there is a lot of things on the line, not only with the win or loss in this contest. That's probably going to be the most interesting thing, I think, one of the side things to follow in this game.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage on the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. Check out @PackersForTheTeam account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.